welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Greg Jackson of the News Tribune, and before Greg and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach, Ted LePage.
Coach, let's take a quick look back at last week's 42-0 win against Live for Life. What were a few things that jumped out to film for you from that game?
First, our special teams play. Our special teams play was really, really, really good. It carried us, really got us some heavy momentum. Our kickoff return unit, we almost took one to the house. Kickoff coverage was just astounding. Pinned them back a couple of times. Had a good punt. You know, when they punt it, we were right there. So special teams were good. Defense was extraordinary. And I say that, everybody's like, well, you gave up 9 yards a carry. That was a team that was about as explosive as we've seen. I would say Luther North, was explosive, but man, they had some cats and they were running and fast. I think our defense, we never gave up that big vertical run. If you think about 2021, it was always that vertical run and it just was like, ugh. We had guys running, we had guys pursuing. So they would get a good run, but they never got the big run. And I think that was very, very telling in the game. Offensively, it was a workmanlike game. Probably the best defense we faced this year. And I don't say that tongue-in-cheek. Very fast. They could go from side to side, forward and back. They were everywhere. So very workmanlike. We didn't panic. I thought it was very good of us. A lot of teams that are, average 50, 60 points a game, they start panicking when you don't score. Mm-hmm. And you can look at any level. Our kids didn't panic. We're just like, okay, we're going to give us four. We're going to take four, and we're going to continue to move the ball methodically.
Going back to what you're talking about on defense, that was one of the biggest takeaways I had was I think they had about six runs that went for 20-plus yards, but they never found a way to even get inside the 20-yard line. And on two of those six runs, they lost the ball on a fumble. So, I think you had to like the way that the defense came out and forced the four fumbles and never – I mean, it's hard to win if you don't have a play inside the red zone.
Correct. And the big issue was no vertical runs. So our guys took so much pride in pursuit. And the pursuit, I think, really shocked them. People, I think, underestimate our speed. We play somebody, and the first thing they say afterwards is, one, y'all are physical. Two, wow, you're fast. And I think they underestimated how fast we were because we were tracking them. And when we were coming from behind, the first guy would make the guy cut back. The second guy was coming in and punching from behind. And they would have bad ball security, and we were able to jar some loose on that.
And really, this was a game where I would argue time of possession was big on your all's part. I know there have been a lot of games where you all have quick, like three or four play scoring drives, but there was a 15-play scoring drive that you all had. There was another that took 4 minutes in the second quarter. And I know that's something we saw in the Maryville game, but I thought that come postseason time, that's – kind of a big thing when you can eat a lot of time off the clock and still score.
That's just the maturity of our offense. I really come back to we've got a lot of guys starting the third. We've got one starting his fourth year. They've played a lot of offense, and it's, hey, we don't care. Sometime we're going to get there, but it may take us 12, it may take us one, but we're going to get there, so just stay with us.
What can you tell us about this Bowling Green team that you're playing in the semifinals on Saturday?
Offensively, as good as running the split back as you're going to see. I know Webb City probably runs it better, but this team's really refined at it. 23-1 in their last 24 football games. I think they're averaging 66 points a game this year, but probably 60 over the past 2 years. Quarterback's very good at reading it. The running back they have is just phenomenal. Very, very quick, strong, physical. Their other running back's identical to that. Maybe not the speed, but just a power runner. They have some really good tight ends that can catch the ball, so they run a lot of play action and beat people with that. Then turn around defensively, and all those guys turn around and play defense, and they're a very attack-style defense. They play a 4-2. And they're just going to say, we're going to bludgeon you. Everybody I spoke with, and if you watch on film, this is, we are going to play boom, boom, and we're going to play boom, boom, and we're going to play boom, boom. So very physical.
All right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage. And Greg, I think I speak for a lot of us when I say that I'm not surprised Blair Oaks won last week. I am stunned by the fact that it was 42-0. So explain to me how exactly that happened last week.
It really did not get off to a good start at all for Blair Oaks because I'd say they ran the opening kickoff about 50 yards back to like the Live for Life 27, And very first play, they lose a fumble, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, this is playing like the last time they were here against Cardinal Ritter.
Right.
Because Ritter, the reverse of it, actually, because Ritter fumbled on its first two possessions. Blair Oaks took the lead and never trailed in that game. Blair Oaks defense came out and gave up 1 yard on the first three plays, and then there was a botched snap on the punt, and Blair Oaks got the ball back and scored and proceeded to just dominate. I think they scored on four consecutive possessions.
Yeah.
And got a defensive touchdown to start the second half. And that was, again, 42 points, I think, is their second lowest point total this year. But I would argue.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I would argue. I mean, they just, there was a running clock almost the entire second half. And, you know, they were able to get one more touchdown. At that point, you just want to avoid injury. You're not there to run up the score.
And I would just love to look back and see if you could ever, you know, it'd be hard to get a firm read on this. But I can't imagine that there are many, you know, state quarterfinal games, regardless of class, where you go, there's a running clock involved. Because that just doesn't happen very often. And the fact that they were able to do that and you know, have such commanding performance just speaks to how good this Blair Oaks team is.
Yeah, I believe they had a running clock in their state semifinal game back in 2018 against Clark County. I think Lamar had one against Holden. I believe it was Lamar and Holden this past week. You know, just you take a look at what they were able to do offensively, and again, they didn't pile up a ton of yards. My biggest takeaway was, you know, the Phillips kid from Lift for Life was as good as advertised. I mean, he had about 170 yards rushing. The difference was this Lift for Life team averaged 9 yards a carry against Blair Oaks. They never took a single snap inside the 20, though. So, I mean, I guess that pretty much sums up a bend-don't-break perspective. But at the same time, Blair Oaks forced turnovers. I know they lost the football in the first play of the game, and that could spell disaster, but they didn't turn the ball over the rest of the game.
Right.
The defense forced four turnovers. Two of them came on long runs where, hey, they just – Lift for Life was trying to get some extra yards, and it did not pan out, and Blair Oaks was able to pounce on the ball. So I thought that was a very – don't look at the yards given up. Just look – I mean, that's one where you look at the zero and say that at this point in the season, that's all that matters. Forget yards per carry. It's about points scored.
Absolutely. So, again, I don't think it would have been a shock to say a week ago, or I think we even talked about it a week ago, where if you would have said, okay – today, 1 o'clock, is going to be a state semifinal game, and it's going to have Blair Oaks and Bowling Green. And I don't think anybody would have been terribly surprised. As it is, that's what we have. Both of them are 12-0. Game's going to be at Bowling Green today because just the way the brackets have worked out. Mm-hmm. So, again, I think it's just – this is not unexpected. I think it's something kind of in the back of a lot of people's minds. We've been looking forward to this all year long, thinking they were kind of on a collision course. Well, guess what? They collide today.
Yeah, and honestly, I wasn't sure. I would say it was close to kind of a 50-50. I think last week I picked that Bowling Green was going to win, but it was going to be like a one touchdown game, and sure enough, that's the way this one was.
Right.
The big takeaway for me is that Bowling Green avenged its quarterfinal loss last year to Lafayette County, because how often do you see two teams meet in the same round back to back years? So
right.
I thought that was kind of interesting to see that, hey, they were able to turn around. We talk about points allowed, and the zero is a big deal. I mean, The highlight of this matchup is you have the two highest scoring offenses in Class 2 meeting head to head. You know, Bowling Green scores about 66 points per game. I think Blair Oaks is at 56.3. Nobody else in Class 2 is averaging more than 50. So by far the two most prolific offenses. So again, it's going to be I don't know what. You could look at all four matchups, and I don't know. Do you compare the offenses? Do you compare the defenses?
Right.
Do you want to compare one offense against the other team's defense? I don't know what the key matchup is going to be, other than I'm going to be curious to see what Bowling Green's defense does against Blair Oaks' offense, because, you know, nothing against the Eastern Missouri Conference, but if you look at the schedule, Bowling Green just – beat everybody by like 50 points, which, don't get me wrong, that's what we saw with Blair Oaks in the Tri-County Conference.
Right.
But Blair Oaks also at least had the two non-conference games against Maryville and Lutheran North that I think were very good speaking points. And it's like, hey, these are two teams that are usually in the state playoffs every year, and we're able to kind of use those as a measuring stick. Bowling Green, I think you can make the argument their first measuring stick wasn't until the Lafayette County game this past week. And they go from, you know, scoring 67, 68 points per game to only scoring 30 against Lafayette County, which, again, that's more telling, and I think that's what kind of score you're going to see this week.
I was going to mention that. I think the fact that, to me, the most telling thing about the fact that, you know, Bowling Green was on a roll going into that game, yes, they get the win, which is what you want to do at this time of year, but if you look, that 30-22 win against Lafayette County, the 30 is the least they've scored all year long, and the 22 is the most they've given up all year long. So it's kind of one of those things where you look at it and go, okay, they finally get a true test, and all of a sudden that 60 points a game comes down to 30, that, you know, 6 points a game allowed pretty much, all of a sudden balloons to 22. What does that bode for today? I guess we'll find out, but I think that's where that, you know, it is kind of one of those things where that immediately leapt off the page of me, where you go, that was not one of those typical Bowling Green scores we've seen this year.
And, well, it's the same thing with, like, Live for Life. I mean, in their district championship game, they scored 66 points against New Madrid County Central and then was shut out by Blair Oaks, right, like 8 days later. So if you're Blair Oaks, I think you have to feel pretty good about what you've been able to do defensively. Again, to me, the performance that we saw, I mean, this is this is a team that is looking a lot like a mix between that 2018 and 2020 defense, where they both won state titles. The 2018 team, I mean they shut out Lathrop in the state title game. That's how good that defense was. The 2020 team had such a great defense, and then of course the state semifinal and the state championship game ended up kind of being shootouts, even though they still got a handful of turnovers in those games. This is a defense that they're going to bring almost everybody back next year. And to me, I think one of the key matchups will be Bowling Green's offensive line, which I think I've say this almost every week, is the offensive line against Blair Oaks' defensive line. Because if you look, Bowling Green is returning 4 starters on the O-line from last year. You know, all 5 of their linemen were all conference this year. Blair Oaks has all 4 of their defensive linemen are, you know, all conference. I imagine at least 1, maybe 2 will be all state by the time this year is done. And it'll be, and the one thing I noticed about Live for Life was really the broken plays were when they got some of those big runs. I don't think maybe 1, possibly 2 might have been designed runs. The others were, you know, Blair Oaks' D-line just got through and kind of forced them to kind of scramble. And that was honestly when I thought Live for Life was at their best at times. So I think that'll be interesting to see what Blair Oaks' D-line is able to do today.
So let's say that Bowling Green's offensive line is able to, you know, at least battle itself to maybe a stalemate or can do some things. If they're able to get into what they normally want to do offensively, what does that mean for them, and what might be, who might be the beneficiary if their line does play well?
Well, I mean, Marcus Starks is an all-state running back for Bowling Green. He rushed for more than 2,200 yards last season. I don't know what his numbers are this season, but I know he did rush for a little over 200 yards last week against Lafayette County.
Okay.
Carried the ball, I believe, about 36 times. So, again, he's going to get the ball the bulk of the time.
Okay.
To me, I think it'll be interesting to see what I think we have seen so many times for Blair Oaks that they have the 4 D linemen, but then you'll have Brady Kerperin at middle linebacker kind of just shoot up and give kind of that sense that he's going to blitz. I think I just looked at the stat sheet, and he had, I think, 17 total tackles last week against Slip for Life. So he was literally everywhere. I think if you want to point out an individual player that's going to be key for Blair Oaks, it's definitely going to be Brady, because it's like, okay, you know, how are they going to utilize him? Are they going to – is he going to be a guy that kind of shoots up the middle to try to plug that hole? This is a split-gear offense for Bowling Green, so if you're Blair Oaks, I mean, how much are you going to – how much do you want to push him to the sideline? How much is it trying to shut off the running lanes? There's just so many different ways to look at this, because Bowling Green also has another running back. I believe his name is Blaine Bryant. So you've got a couple of guys who can carry the ball. They've got a good quarterback, and if you're going to run the Veer offense, you have to have a quarterback with ice water in his veins. So it'll be kind of interesting to see if Blair's can throw them off their game a little bit.
So then let's flip it onto the other side and go, okay, what is the probability then that this Bowling Green defense is going to be able to slow an offense of the likes of which they probably have not seen this year?
And that's really the thing is, and we've talked about this multiple times already this year, can you stop both the run and the pass game simultaneously for Blair Oaks? Like, you know, against Live for Life, you know, Dylan Hare only threw the ball, I believe, 11 times. Now, some of that kind of had to do with the wind. because there were times where he was throwing, he would have been thrown into it. But he also threw a couple of balls into double coverage. One was a great pass that Joey Wilde went up and got, and another was the last touchdown late in the game to Alec Weberg in the end zone. So again, as we've talked about, you know, rain, wind, it doesn't really matter right. for Dylan Hare. He can throw in any conditions. Speaking of conditions, looking ahead, I think the rain is going to hold off long enough for this game, which does make a difference because this is a grass field, so it's going to be a third time Blair Oaks plays on grass. The weird thing about this is if you look at some of the videos, the crowning of their field is not perfect on both sides. I think that toward the main Bowling Green side of the field, it probably slopes normally, but I think on the Blair Oaks side, it kind of goes down pretty sharp near midfield and then kind of levels out.
Okay.
So Bowling Green, again, plays on that all the time. They're familiar with it. Blair Oaks isn't going to get a chance to really get a feel for that until they get to warm up. So I'll be kind of curious to see what footing is like and how they adjust to that.
Yeah. And you mentioned it. I was going to bring that up next as opposed to last week where we were fighting cold and wind. It looks like, if the rain does hold off, then we're going to have some just ideal conditions. I mean, I think, the forecast is kind of for the mid-50s. Should be calm. Obviously, if the weather starts to move in, then you may get a little wind at that point. But I think, everything looking like game time looks like it should be, which is what you want. I mean, if you want that to not play a factor, you want to have both teams kind of just playing as well as I can, just line up and see which team gets it done. So, you hope that it does hold off.
Yeah, I was going to say, I kind of glanced at some of the message boards, and I think the consensus a lot of people felt was like, well, if the weather's good, it definitely favors Blair Oaks. They thought bad weather might favor Bowling Green. I really don't know. I mean, it's the same for both teams both ways. Like I said, the only difference is that Bowling Green is familiar with that surface a lot more than Blair Oaks is.
Sure.
I'll be curious to see what Blair Oaks does with the run game. I mean, we saw Dylan Hare carry the ball. I believe he carried it a little over 20 times last week. For about 150 some odd yards, which, hey, that's what we were looking to see. Is he right. going to get that ball a lot? I think the biggest question is, I think I'll be curious to see if he throws it more, because I think if there's anything that Blair Oaks can exploit, it's that they've got four legit wide receivers, and with Bowling Green's 4-2 defense, that's really going to call for a lot of one-on-one matchups.
Yeah.
And if you're Blair Oaks, if the line is able to give him time in the pocket, are they going to find a mismatch in right. one of those receiving matchups? I'll be very curious to see if the weather is this good. Are we going to see Dylan Hare throw the ball 15, 20 times, and how accurate is he going to be? Because he is completing more than 70% of his passes this season.
Yeah, and it is worth mentioning, too, that, obviously, if you're still playing at this time of the year, you're better than average. You have plenty of playmakers. But I think it is very telling that, yes, if you say, hey, Blair Oaks has got four legitimate wide receivers, there are not many teams, especially at the class, one, two, and three levels, that have four legitimate cover guys. You may have two that are great, and you may have another one that's okay, but do you have a fourth that you can't be exploited? So that's the thing that, that may come into play, where if you go, okay, fine, yeah, we've got two shutdown corners. Well, guess what? We got to shut down two more guys. How likely are you to be able to do that sort of thing?
See, and that's the other thing, is that Blair Oaks can be very diversified with its offensive portfolio, because we've seen them run jet sweeps with Adam Hall. We've seen Dylan run the ball a number of different ways. We've seen him do the RPO runs. We've seen him just do straight-up quarterback draws. We've seen him throw the ball where he'll fake a screen pass and throw it deep. We've seen it to where if he gets 2 to 3 seconds, he will throw it deep. And I think it'll be interesting to see how Bowling Green can game plan for all those different scenarios, whereas with the split back veer, yes, you probably can only do X number of variations about it, but if Bowling Green can find a way to do one or two of them really well, will that be a strength for them? And really, how can they kind of mix it up? Will this be a Bowling Green team that throws a little bit more? Because this quarterback can throw the ball. He just hasn't needed to throw the ball. So how prepared will Blair Oaks be for that?
So once we get into the postseason, injuries get magnified to the extent where something you may not hear about during the regular season, you definitely hear about during the postseason. Well, I didn't hear much chatter coming out of last week, so I'm assuming that everything's fine on the injury front for the Falcons.
Yeah, they're looking pretty good. Really, the only injury I recall from last week's game, unfortunately for Lift for Life, I think their quarterback might have rolled his ankle a little bit in the second quarter, did not return. So, I mean, the good news for Blair Oaks is that took one running back out of the backfield. The bad news was that moved the running back to quarterback out of the Wildcats, so he's touching the ball every play instead right. of every other play.
Right.
But Blair Oaks is fine. You know, Parker Bennett is back on the defensive line. So, for the most part, you know, varsity-wise, they should be at full strength heading into this game.
All right, well, we're going to get to the prediction point of the podcast, but as we like to do it this time of year, we're going to make it a twofer. So let's just look real quickly on the other side of the bracket where the winner of this Blair Oaks Bowling Green game will get either Lamar or Seneca. There are two teams that are 11-1. It's at Lamar. Yeah, they've met already this year with Seneca pulling out a 36-33 win in the regular season. So I'll just ask you, do you see Seneca getting a second win, or do you see Lamar getting a measure of revenge
today? I think Lamar gets some revenge. I think it helps having that on their home field. And honestly, Lamar's got that postseason experience.
Sure.
I think this is a game. I'll go out and say Lamar wins this one 35-28.
All right, so then that means they get who in the state championship game?
Well, okay, so earlier in the News Tribune is my picks, and I believe I put 42-21 for Blair Oaks. I'm going to change Bowling Green's number. I'm going to make it an even number simply because last week against Lafayette County, I think they went for two every time. So okay. I picked 21. I mean, that's an odd number, so I'm going to say Blair Oaks wins this one 42-22.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Greg Jackson on Twitter at ActionJackson05. That's Action J-A-X-O-N-05. Thanks for listening.